Jacksonville. You're on Talk Radio WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to, the 7 o'clock hour has flown by. Another 30 minutes with you here, and then we're going to bring mayoral candidate Jimmy Hill into the studio. You know, it's shaping up. We got a lot of city council positions up for grabs, and of course, the mayor's race and the sheriff's race. The sheriff had his kickoff campaign today. I don't think he's got anybody really that's announced or anybody that's on the horizon looking for competition, but we do have a lot of competition out there for various different city council seats. Bill Bishop's going to give Joyce Morgan a run for her money over there in the old Arlington area. And then I know that there's a gentleman, a retired police officer, a retired police chief.
Yes.
That's going to give Al Ferraro a run for his money. And does it surprise you that Jacksonville's light blue now?
I disagree with you. I think that there's a certain amount of leadership in the Republican Party that needs to step up and not be critical of other people running. I think that the blame should be.
So what do you think about intuitive? That vote is Monday for the slate of officers. I personally think Karen needs another shot. She did a heck of a job. I mean, when has the Duval Republican Party in a midterm election ever turned out 70.4% of the vote?
I don't think they had anything to do with it, quite frankly. I think the vote itself, people saw what was happening and they wanted to go out and vote. I just think that's no. I'm
really?
Sorry. No, sorry. I tell you, I think that we should have done a better job. And quite frankly, most of the races on a statewide races were way too close. And by the way, we lost Duval County to the incumbent Gillum. And I talked to a lot of people in Tallahassee and Leon County. They just are floored that he got so far. And I look at it too far. There was a former newscaster, well known. She has a run. And basically, she was all in on Gillum. And I don't mind you being all in on Gillum, but what happens is that people that don't know Gillum per se looked at her and say, hey, she knows him. She's supporting him all in. And it made a huge difference for Gillum in the primary as well as the general. And that brought out a lot of Democrats that would not necessarily come out.
Well, you're talking about Donna. And
I didn't say her name. I'm just giving
you. I say her name all the time. Donna, yeah. Donna. You know, my hat's off to Dan Hicken for being able to stay at that station for as long as he did after that scandal. So Dan is a quality man, in my opinion. And Donna, and, you know, I'm all about the race that she runs. I'd like to see what the administrative costs of that race are as opposed to how much actually goes to research. I'm pretty sure it's right up there with those United Way contributions and all the other.
Well, let's do it this way. I think that she had incredible amounts of support from the police and all the other people to help run that thing.
Right.
And they did it on their volunteer time. Gillum was pretty aggressive against the police and public safety people. So I'm kind of curious on if this will affect people willing to help her out. It will be interesting because her race is in the spring, so it'll be interesting to see the dynamics. And sometimes people don't look at that way, but when you step out in that world and you support somebody that clearly in my mind was unqualified for the job and didn't know what he was talking about most of the time, except that he had a great personality, good looking guy, but other than
a great
that,
orator reminded
right,
me of
right,
Barack Obama. His
right.
ability to change inflection, change intonation, and talk to a crowd. We're seeing that with the current administration. Sometimes we see an administration that comes out no glasses and you know modern trending clothes, and then sometimes you see an administration that comes out with black frame plastic glasses, looking very I don't know, very accountant-ish, in, you know, sleeves rolled up, ready to do battle. One of my best friends happens to be a meteorologist at the local station here in town, or a local station here in town, and the orchestrated drama that's involved in politics and in TV news, in my personal opinion, by the way, except for looking to see what the weather is going to be, TV news is a waste of your time. You stand a much better chance of getting your news from Twitter or whatever your local internet feed is than you do getting it locally, because all stories are skewed in the direction of whatever is going to keep people attached to the TV long enough to sell that next bottle of Dawn dishwashing liquid. But they orchestrate, and they actually call the weather forecast. They call it the show. And these guys come in an hour or so ahead of time of the broadcast and build their show in the computer. And, you know, in the morning, if there's going to be something important, you'll see that that my buddy has his jacket off, and he'll be doing it, you know, very kind of lackadaisical and matter-of-factly here. But if it's a storm coming up or some kind of weather authority alert day, you'll see that he's got his jacket off, his sleeves rolled up, and he's, like, really aggressive at pointing at the green screen. It's all an act. It's an act put on to make it seem like, you know, the rain shower that we're going to get in the afternoon is going to be some life-changing event.
Well, I will address it slightly differently. I think that investigative reporting is the key to success in both TV and the newspaper.
And I disagree with you. Okay. I think that's a drama whip.
You know,
I think,
how about Ben? The first thing we talked about was Ben Becker going to the mayor and asking him questions about the proposed change.
I think that's wonderful investigative reporting,
right?
Because we need that. But having a cute little blondie go out to a house that hasn't had its grass mowed in 6 months and take an official from the code enforcement department out there and put him in front of the camera and say, how does the city let this happen? Oh, this is just all ire of it.
Okay.
You expect the Hindenburg to come crashing down on fire in the backyard.
You know, this is a unique situation. In my district, unfortunately, the planning department gave someone a permit, and the person who gave the permit made an error. And you go back and you correct it and you nullify it. But because you gave them the permit, now we're in like the third or fourth month of this person operating a business that basically pulled his permit. And there's certain things that we can't do. And now it's out of my hands.
You issue somebody a permit that applied for it legally and it was granted legally and then
unfortunately, it was given.
Someone
made a mistake.
Okay, mistakes happen all the time. It should not be the fault of this person to have to close his business or whatever in order to be able to.
Well, the permit was rescinded, and he still operates the business. And they want to know why he continues to operate the business, because you have to follow the rule of law, and it's become a mess. And I empathize with the neighbors, and it's out of my hands. And fortunately,
I think they ought to sue the city. For every the person that's running that business ought to sue the city, get Eddie Fair on board, and sue him for every dime that the city can give him. I really do. You know, even $100 million, $200 million, $1 billion. Sue the city. I'm serious.
Wait a second. Don't know the whole thing. Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up.
I shouldn't have brought it up. But if you issued a permit, you can't go and rescind it, because that starts to lead to abuse. What happens if someone that's on the other side of the fence from you politically, you find out that he got a permit to open a restaurant, and then under the table you have your chief executive officer or your chief of staff or any number of people that work for you? I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but if you find out that they did, and you have, oh, let's just go pull that permit, and
no,
you pull it
not,
back.
No, it was issued incorrectly. There was nothing in there.
Is it a zoning issue?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the person's operating a business for which that area is not particularly zoned for?
Correct.
Okay. All right, well, I have a little more latitude with that, and since it's not something that's a family restaurant or something of that nature, he's got other places he can move to.
Right.
But you got to be careful
It was a zoning issue. It was unfortunately something that he did not have permit to do in this particular
neighborhood. Has someone brought him to the table and said, hey, let's be reasonable about this? We're going to...
He doesn't want to do anything like that.
What about paying his relocation costs? If you're out there listening to my voice now, permit holder, get them to pay your relocation cost, maybe a half a year's worth of rent, and it all goes away. You move to a new spot, everybody's happy, and the neighbors are happy, and you're happy. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. We'll be right back.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars all season long. Don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars will face the Indianapolis Colts. Tune in at 12:45 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Does rainy weather make you nervous? Alliant Roofing says that it's time to think about a new roof. Get repairs done or ask about a roof tune-up. Once water seeps into the roof, you have a great chance of costly repairs and mold leading to health issues. Mason Fleming and Alliant Roofing has over 30 years of experience specializing in commercial and residential type roof systems. Call for a free estimate at 237-4700 or 721-7663. Alliant Roofing, Florida State Certified Roofing License, CCC 132-8560. Florida State Certified Builder's License, CBC 125-7928.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly. What you got to say? To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. Say, hey, hey, hey. That's 222-8255. What you got to say? Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. You're such a traitor. When we're off the air, you're such a traitor. You're actually rooting for Nick Saban.
No, I'm not.
You're just rooting against Georgia.
No,
that's all it is.
I think a great game, and it was one of those great things during break that we get to have a great conversation as well as you're staring at the football game.
Well, let's go to line one and bring up Robert. Robert, good evening and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Hi, Bill. Paid my property taxes this week and my tags and stuff, and the way that this government just shovels money out the window. Boy, it just drives me crazy. One thing you guys are talking about, JEA, I'm retired, but I did a lot with the power industry and so forth. And matter of fact, I did the turbine lube flushes on St. John's River Power Park when they built it. And that's like a young spring chicken around compared to the other plants in this state. And it's like you're going to sell something, but you just take a Cadillac and throw it through the scrap heap.
Okay.
It just amazes me. It was a huge asset, and I guess because they're in bed with Florida and Power and Light with that thing, maybe they just do it for credits to get rid of coal-fired plants or something. I don't know.
Well, what's curious to me is the amount of Florida Power and Light commercials that are being aired on local TV now. So they've put a big push on to make Florida Power and Light a local household name and talk about all of the wonderful things that Florida Power and Light could do for us up here. We're really about the last notch that is not currently owned with Florida Power and Light. In other words, we're the last little hole in the state of Florida that doesn't have a Florida Power and Light label on it.
Well, Duke owns Duke does not own it, but TECO was bought by somebody else and not Florida Power and Light down in Tampa area.
Okay.
And what about Seminole Electric?
That's a joint group, and I'm not even sure who the owners are, but it's a joint venture with two different people. And that's one of those coal power plants that, again, our coal power plant was actually very efficient, and it was very good for the environment, and here we go, we got shut it down. It's partly because people aren't using as much electricity as they used before. People aren't using water as much. They're being much more conservative on both areas.
I beg your pardon, but it's like, where are they getting the power from without that plant?
We go out on the market. JEA goes out and they'll buy power from other developers or other producers,
right?
At a lower rate, and supposedly that in the long run saves us money. I find that really hard to believe, but
Well, that's why they did the Vogtle thing, and understand the Vogtle. Everybody talks about $2 billion. It's always good to actually break down the numbers to get a better feel about what they really is. It's a $20 billion problem, but over 20 years. So it works out to be a $100 million problem over every year. But then what you do is you have a stable, ongoing, stable energy source for 20 years that's not going to go up or down, because once that plant is built, you know exactly what the costs are going to be. So it's just only part of the power usage or power grid that we're going to use for at some point for a 20-year period.
But look at the millions and millions of dollars we've wasted to be part of a nuclear co-op, and that's not going to get built probably in my lifetime.
No.
It's one of those things you're going to have to – I understand it's going to be built, and it will be complete in 2021 and 2022. Understand that there's Vogtle 1 and 2. They're complementary businesses, plants. And what happened was Westinghouse was building 3 and 4. First of all, 1 and 2 is working fabulous. So 3 and 4 get up there, and Westinghouse, who was a contractor, went bankrupt. That's a mess.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call tonight, Robert.
Can I ask another question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I remember from the great Andy Johnson decades ago when they were getting the Jaguars on up and rolling and all, he screamed bloody murder about the city got a bad deal on the Jaguars.
They did.
And of course, I get my thing in the email saying under the Jaguars head thing on buy your Stones tickets. Does the city not even make a dime off the Stones there?
They make a facility usage fee and a small percentage of the ticket price.
Right.
But the bulk goes into the Jaguars' pockets, right?
Is it going to be at Altel? 80
I love that Altel. That's like two or three people.
Does it go into the Gator Bowl? Unfortunately, the way it's structured, the 80% of it will go back to Stash Investments. So 80% of that money goes back, and that's the thing that, and I say it with Matt sitting right here in the studio. That's the problem we have with the structuring of the Jaguars. The Jaguars cost us so much money, and for anybody to live the pipe dream that, Jacksonville's a better place because we have an NFL franchise, that's not true. It's never been true in the history of the Jaguars. If we had the Minnesota Vikings here or the Dallas Cowboys here or any reasonably good winning team, we might eke out a little bit of benefit by being an NFL franchise city. But right now, at this point in time, the only people that are making out are the folks that are the backbone of the community that will be able to interact with Shad Khan and some of his building projects, either as contractors or vendors and suppliers. We don't stand a chance of being one of those people that benefits from something like having Shad Khan and the Jaguars here. We just don't. And then,
well, let me ask you. I'll change the subject. I'm not going to change the subject, but you go down to Tampa. This guy, Vinick, owns the hockey team. And what he's done is he has revitalized. He has committed money and investors. You got Bill Gates money thrown in and investing in that
area.
He
just went from football to hockey, but I agree with you.
Vinick, I'm just giving you an example. Vinick owns the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he has taken that team and got the town all involved, but he's also redeveloping that whole area around that the hockey stadium, and it's extraordinary. I was down there recently, and it's just amazing what it was 10 years ago and what is happening now in that area. He's bringing a medical facility down there. He's bringing businesses down there. It's become an entertainment mecca.
When you look at, for example, I was, during the hurricane relief out in the Panhandle, was able to meet with some of the real high-ups in the Tampa Bay Bucks organization, the football team. They do not receive any, zero money do they have on public-private partnerships. The Bucks organization puts in their own money to establish their own. You know, obviously the stadium is paid for by the city. But if they want the world's largest television screens, the Bucks organization pays for that. If they want to have upgraded food, God forbid if they ever got some stupid idea. Let's see, what would be the most outrageous, stupid idea that you could do at a football stadium? Maybe something, I mean, something so outlandish that nobody would even think of, like maybe putting swimming pools. I mean, imagine if somebody actually thought about putting swimming pools at the cost of $2.7 million for the antibacterial cleaning filters that they have to have and all of the other, the reinforced concrete and stuff to put in two swimming. I mean, that would be so ludicrous to think that anybody would actually put swimming pools into an NFL stadium. And then on top of that, even more ludicrous to think that someone would sell off the rights to be able to put in a park to where you can bring your dog to an NFL football game and then run the risk of possibly having someone bit while they're at the game and then sue the city for that. I mean, just the craziness of – I mean, so let's just talk completely hypothetically.
Did I hit a nerve here?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
what I'm saying is we have sold our souls to the Weavers, and we have sold our souls to Khan. And when you walk across, or when you drive across the Matthews Bridge or the Hart Bridge, you can actually
see the Hart Bridge, because that's going to be minus the off ramp, which is
right. That'll be minus the off ramp, so there'll be no reason to really use that any longer.
Thrown out the window on that deal.
Exactly. So when you enter that the area of Shad Khanistan, which is now an independent republic within the confines of the city of Jacksonville, we get nothing back from that. Nothing.
The whole thing.
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, and even this councilman sitting here in the studio will tell you about three TVs that we paid for that didn't get built, three electronic billboards that didn't get built to the tune of $1.27 million. But now they've come back to the table and are demanding that we build them another $500,000 electronic billboard that supposedly now is only going to produce ads that relate to the events that take place down in the entertainment zone. So we have now wasted $2.7 million on three TVs that didn't get built, and now they're coming back to the trough to get another $500,000 for a TV that they swear they are now going to actually build. And the city council and the finance committee, they've just signed off on that and thought nothing of it. And Matt's sitting here, he's just got this big Cheshire grin, because you know I'm right.
You're partially right.
No, not partially right. I'm all the way right. Come on.
Bill, we the city owns the stadium, and that's correct. So
why does the city have to pay Shad Khan to have the Monster Jam there?
Well, I don't know
the biggest
event. Okay, wait a second. I don't know all the details that you're asking. I do know this. We own the stadium. And the question is, when you look at other venues, other football stadiums, do they own the football stadium? Because right now, we own the Gator Bowl or whatever, TIA. I've always said, why don't we sell that? If it's costing the city money, and if the Shad Khan wants to buy it, why wouldn't we do that? And the reason is because going back 25 years, because it was in the paper 25 years, we struck a lease deal that there was no reason for them to buy the piece, because the lease deal is so
advantageous. It's so heavily weighted towards Shad Khan or the Weavers. Yeah. Thank you very much for your call tonight. I appreciate it, buddy. We're going to break. I will enjoy picking this up when we get back. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. If you'd like to reach us on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump says after he returns from Argentina this weekend, he'll dispatch Air Force One to Houston to bring the casket of former President George H.W. Bush to Washington. The 41st president, who died yesterday at age 94, will lie in state Monday through Wednesday at the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. U.S. flags will be flown at half-staff for the next month, and the president says he'll also attend a funeral for Mr. Bush at the National Cathedral in Washington. Mexico has a new president. Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the nation's first leftist president in over 70 years, took the oath of office earlier today. The G20 summit wrapping up, President Trump meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, and engineers are combing an area of south-central Alaska after two earthquakes and a number of aftershocks rattled the region Friday, causing widespread damage. This is SRN News.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Don't stress over a leaky or damaged roof. Just call Perkins Express Roofing. Perkins Express Roofing is available 24/7. If you've had damage from a storm or accident, there's a good chance insurance will cover it, and Perkins Express Roofing will do all of the paperwork for you. If you're remodeling, renovating, or building a new home or building, let Perkins Express Roofing's parent company, MCM Builders, do a free estimate and show you how much they can save you. From a leak to a whole roof, Perkins Express Roofing is locally owned and operated and totally licensed and insured. Your roof is one of the most important parts of your home. Trust the professionals at Perkins Express Roofing. Call 904-525-2277 or 626-2860. Currently hiring sales reps, equal opportunity employer. Perkins Express Roofing says, we keep you covered. 525-2277 or 626-2860. State license number CCC 1330452.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
734, I'm Tom Murphy, 10 east and westbound. You're good to go from Lane Avenue on past the West Beltway and out to Hammond Boulevard. The crash on 95 northbound, Nassau County, that's blocking the right shoulder between Pecan Park Road and State Road 200. Scattered showers tonight through Monday night, overnight down to 65. Tomorrow's high 82. Monday, mid-70s, 67 degrees at Talk Radio WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255. What you got to say? Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Boy, I'm telling you, I've gone from complete and total elation to complete and total destruction. I mean, now Nick Saban's team is up 34-28, soon to be 35-28, a minute four left in the half or in the game. This guy is a steamroller. I don't know what they do over there in Alabama, what they feed their people, but it's just amazing the amount of comebacks that they have year after year after year. I thought that this was going to be the year that Georgia came through with it, but a minute and four left, I just don't see them being able to fly down the field and at least be able to tie it up. It just looks like it's another also-ran for my dogs tonight, and I'll be the first one to admit I'm disappointed. Joining me in the studio now, grab a pair of headphones there, and we'll welcome in Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor here in Duval County. I want to thank Robert for that last call relative to some of the events that are going on in Jacksonville relative to the spreading of wealth around to a few elite families and a few elite companies. And that kind of will lead the charge for the questions that I'm going to ask Jimmy Hill here going forward. So let me welcome you to the studio. Pull that microphone up there to about half an inch or so. And
absolutely.
There you go. And so first of all, I guess the best thing to do would be to introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, really glad to be here. And I'm sorry about the dogs. They may do something here, though. But my name's Jimmy Hill, and that's probably the thing I need to do the most, to say my name, because politically I haven't been on the forefront of anything major, but I've been watching it my entire adult life. I'm fifth generation Jacksonville resident. My mom and on her side of the family pretty much homesteaded the property across the street from JU and next and just north of JU, or actually it was south of JU. But so, you know, listen to this. This is the most interesting conversation that you've been in, and your caller hit the nail on the head. Somebody has to come along and stand up, and it has to be somebody that's not in the political process, and it can't be the chosen one, as you pointed out very clearly, because the chosen one is going to play the game, and the chosen one's going to stay in the lines and work with those five families and that you've talked about and the other influences. And the citizens of the city, after walking for 5 or 6 months and meeting everybody, the citizens of the city are ready for somebody to do that. So I have a political background. I've been an elected official in Atlantic Beach, spent 4 years down there, wrestled with some major issues and some stuff that never probably shouldn't be in front of the legislation at that level. The HRO was one of the big deals. And it was an easy, really easy thing to oppose. And most people who are honest about it understand that it's just an unconstitutional thing to make special categories for special people. I made that argument for 2 years. I held up the process, and it finally passed because of the makeup of the board. But I was effective because, A, it wasn't a bigoted approach to that issue. It was literally a constitutionally based argument, and it was extremely effective because it's the best argument you can make against that type of thing. So I haven't come to the scene without some controversy. I was the guy that stood against that effectively for a long time. And I did everything I did based on common sense. And that's the difference between me and what we have right now. I'm not enamored by the NFL one bit. I literally would just negotiate a proper contract with the sports franchise to protect the taxpayer dollar. It's not a complex thing. I'm not in any way starstruck by jet rides I didn't play football as a high school guy and dream about being in the NFL. So I wouldn't make the concessions that we're seeing right now for these obvious reasons. And as much as I like the fact that somebody's willing to spend money in a development of Jacksonville, it has to fit the character. And some of Shad Khan's plans do not even remotely fit the character and culture of our city. It's a very different thing that we're talking about building and as a new base for our downtown. And so I just bring a different view to it.
Well, let me, since you touched on it, we're going to have to negotiate this contract again eventually with the Jaguars. I have never in my professional career ever seen someone come to the table and offer to take less on a huge negotiated contract like this. Most people either want to renew or get a larger piece of the pie. My thoughts are that Schad will eventually want to get a larger piece of the pie. So my question to you is, if elected, is that going to, would that make a difference to you?
So the only thing that you can really do is start from the position, because the I'll be honest with you, we don't all know all the details of the contract the way it is, because we learn something new about it every day. But the thing that has to happen is whoever goes in there just has to advocate for the taxpayer. We don't have that at all right now. That is not happening even remotely in the process. And that means that we have to get guaranteed. If we spend huge quantities of money, let's just take it down. Let's not try and pick it through the dollars. Let's just go with the large categories of just protection. Like if you buy a house, you're going to insure it. You're going to do some things. With this, we have to have some insurance that our investment is going to be worth something into at least a reasonable a period of time. We don't even have that basic protection in this contract, or we wouldn't be hearing ESPN and everybody else talking about the football team leaving. It wouldn't even be on the table if we had that protection in place. So there's some really basic things that just weren't done, and that's because the representatives, and I'll say across the board, nobody, not the council nor the mayor, put those protections in place, and they really genuinely needed to from day one.
Well, we look at when the franchise was awarded, and we're looking at this 25-year anniversary, and you see Mayor Ed Austin there. You see some of the influential people, the Petways and others, really pushing for this. At that point in time, it was another case of, it's not our money. We don't care how it gets spent. It's you know, even if we don't make a dime, just the fact that we have an NFL team will mean that so many of these folks that live day in and day out on what revenues generated by their own personally owned businesses, they thought that they were getting in on a cash cow.
Right. And the problem is with the football team, it is fantastic for the communities. After a win, there's an uptick in the economy that's, you can register it a little bit. And after a lose, it actually goes down also. So, the real problem is that the NFL has been sold as the identity of Jacksonville. And the real problem is Jacksonville never had an identity for some reason. It just missed it. Like a lot of, like I always look at the Archway in St. Louis, they bought their identity. Literally, you can't show that image without knowing where it is. And before that, they were the gateway to the West, but that's all they were. We never bought the identity. We bought a football team instead. And to be honest with you, that's the problem. We really should focus on our identity outside of a professional sports franchise that could pack up and leave in a day or two. And that's where I'd like to focus, is make the identity of the community more about what the community is. And it is, it's literally the gateway to Florida. There's some aspects to it that are,
there's a big portion of our residents that would say, well, we're truly just South Georgia. Or we're the largest small town in the country, because we have that small town attitude. You know, when you look at Mayberry, if you looked at this hypothetical imaginary community of Mayberry, you had the sheriff, the barber, the guy that ran the gas station. I can't think of any other majors, but I mean, that's kind of what we have here. We have 5 to 7 families that run the city.
So the way I've looked at it my entire life is it's the most untapped potential of any community that I've ever been to. And I travel a lot. My business allows me to spend a lot of time in a lot of different communities, and we have the most going for us. It's only Mayberry because of the Southern hospitality that it held on to. That's the only aspect of it that probably still fits. We have infrastructure that other cities would dream about. Our port facilities can be and are actually world-class. And ironically, I'm going to switch gears, and I'll do this occasionally, but just the utility fact, the fact that we were autonomous with our electrical and had some freestanding ability off the grid for a period of time, or at least capable of being off the grid, would have been an incredible opportunity for most cities. I think it's insane that we're moving away from the grid on the electrical thing too, before I get too far off of that we're moving towards basically a complete dependence on outside power when we have facilities that are being torn down that have 20 years of life left in them. It's disgusting, and where is the advocacy for the taxpayer who bought that? I didn't hear a word about it, and none of that made sense. There's something really insidious going on there. There's something that I think everybody knows it. I think everybody understands that there's more going on there than we know.
All right, well, we'll get into that and peel back some more layers. We've got a caller on the line as soon as we get back from this from this break. We'll probably take some phone calls. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. You touched briefly earlier in your comments on the HRO. I'd like to get back to that and revisit that for just a second when we get back from this commercial break. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. If you'd like to reach me on Facebook, you can, facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly. I can see that five or six comments have come up just since you entered the studio. So we'll
awesome.
We'll get a chance to read those and see what they have to say. So join us on the backside, won't you? This is Bill Hay.
Whether it's lunch or dinner, on the go, or if you want to dine in, Hangar Bay Cafe at 2294 Mayport Road is for you. Hangar Bay is open 7 days a week for lunch or dinner and is famous for their Japanese ramen. A regular ramen bowl with two pieces of chicken and drink starts at just $13. In the mood for something traditional? Hangar Bay has fried chicken better than your mama's. Hangar Bay made the list of the best fried chicken in all 50 states based on Yelp data. Seafood like shrimp and fish with grits, and sandwiches that are unique, like bourbon teriyaki pulled pork, spicy sausage, or spicy Cajun po' boy. Hangar Bay is a veteran-owned restaurant with a Navy theme and variety. Hangar Bay Cafe, 2294 Mayport Road. Dine in, take out, and ask about catering. Online at hangarbaycafe.com. With all the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping and party planning, it's sometimes easy to forget what the true meaning of Christmas is. Well, the Boger family at Boger Shoes would like to remind everyone what the Christmas season is all about. Christmas is about the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, who was born to Mary and Joseph in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. There were no office parties, no Christmas trees, just the arrival of three kings that brought gifts and knelt beside this manger occupied by the Savior of our world. When you think about Christmas this year, please reflect on why this holiday is so significant. Since 1957, Boger Shoes has been providing orthopedic and diabetic shoes for thousands of customers in Northeast Florida. And Boger Shoes offers free evaluations and fittings by three board-certified podiatrists on staff. Good old-fashioned customer service has been the key to Boger Shoes' success since 1957. So stop by 1014 Park Street in Five Points and experience the Boger's difference. Boger Shoes, the answer for hurting feet. And Merry Christmas from everyone at Boger Shoes.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. Meet Del's team live in Miami, one day only, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Grand Hotel Biscayne Bay, Saturday, December 15th from noon to 4. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
Are you guys looking for a morning show that is fast-paced, entertaining, and gives you all the news without all the nonsense involved? Listen to Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Monday through Friday, right here on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., Roger.
And we value your input as well, so feel free to call in.
That's right. Mornings from 6 to 9 a.m., Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, on FM 101.1, AM 600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plain. If you can hear the timbre in my voice, you will know that, once again, Nick Saban has pulled it out of a hat, and it's his game. 35-28, they have... He has taken upon himself to beat the Bulldogs in a season when the Bulldogs were scoring 50 points over opponents. They come in and were doing very well, and then they replaced the quarterback. Maybe they were following in on the Jaguars pattern, but replaced the quarterback and went ahead 35-28. So the Alabama Crimson Tide is your new SEC champions as of just a few moments ago. We will now go to the phone lines, and I preface this. Apparently, this person is not a big supporter of Jimmy Hill.
Nope, didn't find a few of those. That's what happens when you when you take a position on things and
all right, well, my call screener says she sounds very negative.
Well, so let's see how it goes.
So let's see how it goes. Good evening, Mary, and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay. What? Tell me.
My question is for Mr. Hill.
All right. Well, he's on with you right now.
And Mr. Hill, I'm curious, is it true that you filed for bankruptcy?
So, absolutely. So, I've had a business for 21 years, and we've never paid a late fee. We never paid a late bill. And the city of Jacksonville, in an effort to take Metro Park from the citizens, literally destroyed my business in a single action. They I would say corruptly, ran us up to the Monday morning of move-in and led us to believe we were going to have our annual event. And not only did they do that, so and let us spend the...
Let me jump in for just a second so I can get that noise out of our background. Mary, did you have any other follow-up questions?
Well, you mean...
All right, well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put you on hold to get rid of a grounding noise we've got in our ears, but I'm not going to disconnect you. I'm just putting you on hold, and then I'll bring you back up as soon as he finishes comment. That way it'll get rid of this noise that's in my ear. Hang on. Just don't hang up the phone. All right, so she's on.
Yeah,
on
absolutely. So our business basically filed to distribute the debt from this punch that the city of Jacksonville gave our longstanding boat show that we had done for 21 years.
That's what I was going to ask you. What was the business?
So it's the Jacksonville International or the Southeast U.S. Boat Show that we had done for many years at the Oyster Jam Music Fest. And because they were trying to literally steal Metro Park from the citizens, because the park's in a trust fund, the city doesn't own it. It's a little bit complicated. And we discovered that and we understood that. They led us to spend, I kind of always make the analogy, they basically led us to commit completely to doing an event. And then they canceled it on us the Monday of move-in. We literally had people on the ground ready to move in. And they did it by giving a contract to a rock concert on top of our contract. So everything about it's interesting. There is a court date set for our action in return to that. But in order to continue doing business, we had to file to distribute that debt out and to spread it out. So I don't know how much money a small business has to keep in the bank to survive a corrupt government. But that's exactly what we did. And so we're going to survive. They didn't take us out of business, and those debtors will be paid. That's why that system exists, is so that when something crazy like this happens, you can adjust to it and keep going. The problem is the city will no longer allow us to do the boat show. And keep in mind, 21 years without ever being late on any bill we've ever paid. And they, so it's interesting. They actually had a very...
I jump in on that question.
Sure.
The city won't allow you. Now, remember now, we haven't had very many boat shows.
No, they won't do business with it. They refuse to meet with us. They refuse to talk to us about it. They've denied us the right to do the show after 21 years. They've let other people come try and do it on the same exact dates that we had secured 10 years ago. It is absolutely insane. And it's the kind of corruption that I'm running against. It's not why I'm running, but it certainly freed me up to do it. I can make a list of similar business attacks that they've made on other small businesses. And the mechanism, the problem was we actually trusted them. We had a long relationship. We thought we thought their word was good. We thought that what they told us had been good. And they let us expend all of our resources, because it's an event. That's how you do it. You don't store a ton of money from these events. And we were coming out of the worst 8 years in the boating industry, so we didn't have a big bankroll to fall back on. So we ended up incurring a tremendous amount of debt, basically by committing advertising and all the marketing for this event. And then they shut the gate on us.
No one's done a boat.
No, they did one. It's funny. They invited an out of town company the year later, but I have to say this. So that the way the boat industry works, there's a schedule of events. So they actually realized they had stepped in it and they knew they were in trouble. So they opened up the option for us to do that event a month later, and it was a complete bust. It was a total failure. You can't move an event of that scale. Many of the vendors couldn't be there. It lost all of its energy, so it lost money. It bombed. It was a pretty terrible event a month later. It had become the largest boat show between Stuart, Florida and Annapolis, Maryland. It was a major event. Tens of thousands of people came. It did millions of dollars of revenue for the taxpayers. They would rather, and the problem was, is Metro Park. The real issue was Metro Park's in a trust fund. And I discovered it. And for some reason, when I mentioned it to people inside of this administration, they didn't have a contingency to replace those 12 acres with another piece of property. And since I knew that, they crushed me. It's a really ugly thing, and it'll be in court, and I don't want to go into too much detail, but the story's the story, and it'll be the same in court. So that's the one thing that Curry's supporters will throw at me, and I love it when they do it because it just exposes his corruption and the city's corruption in this matter so much better. So thank you, Mary, for pointing that out. We appreciate it a lot.
Who is it that you negotiate with respect to getting an event like that? Is it Special Events?
Originally it was Special Events, and then Sam Moussa got involved, and he was probably the primary decision maker in the process. And Lenny,
the Public Works Director?
Well, at the time.
Chief of Staff.
Yeah, at the time he was doing something else, and they had to slide him down to get him out of the crosshairs of a bunch of other stuff that was going on. And I don't mind talking about it freely. We have a very serious problem on the fourth floor. And often people are shuffled to get out of the firing line for the event, for things just like this. They moved around and you'll not hear them for a while, and then they'll come back up when the heat's off. So our very important, you know, we did the Oyster Jam Music Fest as a multicultural event tied to the boat show. One of the nicest downtown events, as big as anything that had ever happened in Jacksonville. And they were willing to destroy it because we literally pointed out, and here's what's funny. I'm a sophisticated political person. I didn't threaten them that I would do something about it. I just noticed it, and I just said it. And the fact that we knew that it was in a trust and that they were going to give it away and that it was not legal was what got us buried.
When you say with the trust, there's a – and let me give Mary the opportunity
absolutely.
That I afforded to her. Mary, you're back on the line now. Did you have a follow-up question?
No, I guess I have hesitancy in putting good faith in voting for someone who has these money issues when we just got rid of crooks in city council who had money issues. You know, why would we want to blindly put that step forward for mayor?
All right.
Right.
There's an excellent follow on, Mary, and I'm going to drop, if you don't have anything else, I'm going to drop you now. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you for your call.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's the fact that the term crook was used is hilarious because it's the farthest from what happened that could ever happen. We literally agreed to make sure our debt was paid, and everyone, and here's who we owed. We owed a small tent company. We owed marketing companies. All of that debt's being paid down in a restructure. So, we didn't walk away from anything. We're here forever. This is my hometown. This is, you know, where we're at. It is horribly unfortunate that this company had to do this. And it is terrible that Current Productions, the company that had done this event for so long, was attacked and targeted, but we're recovering. We're going to be fine in the long run. And once it's all done, it'll probably actually end up being a completely, I hate to say it like this, cause I don't want to sue the city that I live in, but it'll probably be a windfall for Current Productions at the end of it, because there's some serious liability in what happened, and it's all exposed, it's all documented. The one thing about me is I keep incredible documentation.
When you mentioned earlier with respect to the trust fund, that's something that even I've been in the political world and lived in this town all my life. This escapes me that Metro Park is in a trust fund developed for who, by who?
So it was donated by a family, and it was dictated in the donation where what it would be used for, and it had some restrictions on it. And it really wasn't difficult to get it out of the trust. All they had to do is go to Congress to get it out of the trust. There was a mechanism there, but they chose not to do it. They chose to do something else. It was a process, and a long one, that wouldn't have fit the plan they had for the developer that they were going to give it to. But
does this go all the way back to the Trident developer?
Absolutely.
And,
yeah,
okay, so it goes back that far.
Farther, actually. I believe it was the family, and I'm not positive on the trust holders, but I think it was the family of the paint company that originally had it that donated. And it was part of Kids Campus, the piece of Kids Campus that was there. So some of Metro may not be in a trust, but most of the land is. And it's a good subject. A lot of people will hear about it soon when this thing develops. And thank you, Mary, for the question. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, we're going to come back to that in just a minute. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor, joining me in the studio tonight. You can call us 222-TALK, 222-8255. He's interested in feeling good and bad questions tonight. So join us on the back.